Hello, this is Gary No. I'm still with you, and I would like to introduce you to someone that you probably already know.
Come on, Gary, hurry up!
I am hurrying. I would like to tell you who's coming on before me. I will be on at noon. Very compelling conversation.
Come on, Gary. Gotta go.
Don't rush me, Mark. So, here is the host of the Progressive Radio Network's show, Insight. Mark.
I got it, Gary. Thank you very much, Gary. Hey, everybody. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be in the same studio with Gary Null. You can hear the rest of Gary. Thank you, Gary.
You can hear the rest of Gary's very compelling talk at 12 noon today and every day on the Progressive Radio Network. How are you feeling, everybody? Cinco de Mayo. Yes, yes. This has to be a really shitty day for the French. Right? I mean, knowing that, first of all, they didn't think they were going to get defeated by the Mexican army in a pueblo that they had no idea probably even existed. And here they are all these years later in Mexico, still partying up. And right here in New York City. Like, we got my maracas ready. And Jason's going to be putting down his credit card, the program director of PRN, at the bar around the corner. So at 12:01, when we're done with the show here, we're going to go down and get our Cinco de Mayo on. I'll have my first Corona of the day. Wink, wink. No. It'll really be my first Corona of the day. I promise you. Anyway, got a great show coming your way. In addition to being the fifth day of May. You're going to meet two incredible trailblazers spearheading some incredible new ways of thought and publicizing it. They are the co-founders of Motivated Magazine. Really great individuals. I had a long conversation with them the other day. I enjoy their spirit, their passion, their dedication, and what they're doing. Basically, their magazine exists because of all the different, obviously, people in this world have done amazing things. And it could be from someone who's been in a wheelchair, who suffered from a major accident, to just doing an extraordinary thing. And I love that on every level because it's about impacting lives. That's why I talk to you guys. I love talking to people, learning what makes people tick, tick, tick. And thank you, Gary. And I just want to – sorry. I had to get that out of my system. So anyway, they're great, and they're going to be joining me in a few minutes. They're going to be coming to us live from Ohio. Hopefully we're going to get them into the city very, very soon. And they're going to be really pissed because not only are they going to miss the free maracas and shakers and all that stuff, but the free open bar with Jason Taubenfeld after my show. So a great interview. Please stick around for that. And pretty cool that New York City and Boston and Philadelphia has gotten ahead of this. Very, very smart thing to do because they're going to be kind of avoiding a cultural war. Certainly by making a transgender access to restrooms a matter of identity. So good for New York, Boston, and Philly, because obviously we just saw what took place in the South. And, you know, it was really ridiculous. It still is ridiculous. They need to overturn that. And so obviously very progressive cities, except for Boston, which is pretty conservative on many fronts, but obviously very smart that they're going to certainly do the right thing. And they got ahead of this because I certainly imagine everyone who's in a certain state, big states, really did the right thing by saying, how are we going to address this? This is a matter of time before we get pressed on how we're going to deal with this. And that's great. So now I like to bring you certainly news, local news, international news, et cetera, on every level. This will obviously be for our tri-state listeners. I'm a big believer on protecting your head, your coconut. So New York City Department of Transportation is pretty cool. They've been doing this for a few years. They're actually giving away free bike helmets today. Free, that's right, actually free to ages anyone alive.
Pretty cool. So between 3:30 and 6:30 today at 10 Grand Army Plaza, which is at the Brooklyn Public Library, free bike helmets. Now, I was never a proponent of bike helmets until, let me see, what year was this? 1995, 96-ish. And I was living in a city, training for a race. And I was actually riding across town going to Central Park to do probably, I don't know, 30, 40 miles. It was actually before work. And I'm cruising really, really fast down across cross street. And I was riding behind a box truck. Now, as you know, like race cars, they do a thing called drafting. The first person is cutting the wind, not breaking wind, cutting wind. And the person behind them can obviously save a lot of energy, fuel, etc., by going close to their bumper or whatever the case may be. So that's what I was doing. And I was probably going 30-ish, maybe in change. And this truck stopped. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I knew there was no way I was going to stop. I was probably about 5 to 7 feet behind them, and it was a box truck. I couldn't see anything in front of them, so I imagine it was probably a double-parked car. They had to slow down and squeeze in between. So as I saw this, I realized, okay, I can't hit this head-on, so at least let me turn my steering wheel and at least try to turn my head a little bit so I'll hit the side of my head, not the front of the head. Is that better? I don't know. That's exactly what I was thinking. Instincts, right? In milliseconds. So that's what I did. And I didn't lose consciousness, but I did see stars, and I never fell down. I was kind of like woozy, and I made myself over to the curb. Now, the truck driver never knew, of course, that somebody was behind him and hit him because, you know, what was I, 200-pound, like, leaf hitting his truck? He would never hear that. So I'm pulling myself over to the curb, and a mailman, postman comes over to me. And he's like, "You are okay?" I said, "Yeah, you know, I think so. I'm checking myself. Am I bleeding?" And he said, "No, no, no. You look good." He goes, "You're very, very lucky." I was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." So my front fork got a good gouge in it, and I was a little upset about that because it was a fairly new bike. And I took my kind of inventory of myself, and I'm like, "All right, well, my handlebar is a little crooked." I straightened it out. I was able to straighten it out against the curb. And I'm like, "All right, well, I feel pretty good. All right, let's go to the park. Let's just ride this off, all right? Let's do that." So a couple hours later, you know, I finished my ride and the shower, going to work, and I'm like, "Man, I don't feel too well." So long story short, I had a major concussion. So I'm at work. I'm like, "Oh, I got to go." So I went right to the hospital. And so that's the end of my story. I mean, it was really, really fortunate not to have died. Bought the farm right there on, I think it was 90th Street, between 5th and Park. But yeah, so anyway, so I'm a major proponent of wearing a helmet. So if you can't make it there, wherever you live in the world, strap one on. I know it looks kind of dorky sometimes, but especially in the era of people actually sometimes driving when they are driving, because they mostly text when they drive, you see people swerve all over the place. It is not a safe place to be. Riding. So if you're riding in an unprotected area, which many of us do because it's, you know, you have to get to place B from A, and most of the time it's unprotected if you are going to protected area. Did you follow that? I think I did. Anyway, so that's my public service announcement for the day. So I heard about this woman. This is really amazing, amazing on so many levels because, hey, listen, we all have things to say in this world, right? Whether we like what other people have to say or maybe don't even like the sound of their voice or whatever. Obviously, this is an era, a landscape of information overload on so many different levels in terms of platforms, digital platform, cable shows, YouTube channels, you name it. But I love the fact that a 21-year-old woman with autism can have her own talk show. And here's an example.
To introduce you to my first guest ever. He has been a stripper, a police officer, a secret agent, a reporter, a boyfriend to many, and soon he will dump his wife to be with me. I welcome Channing Tatum.
Hi.
How about that, Channing? Would you date a 21-year-old person with autism?
Yes, if I got permission from my wife.
All right, I've got my lawyers working on your divorce papers as we speak. Now, even though I'm in love with you, I do realize you are married. You've been very candid about how she is your everything.
That's hysterical. I love it. I love it. 21-year-old Carly Fleischman, the name of her show is Speechless, and she's unable to speak. She's nonverbal, and I think she's the first nonverbal talk show host. And if you Google her, I believe her website actually is carlyspeaks.com, but certainly her videos on YouTube, and she does a terrific job interviewing Channing Tatum. And he was just sweet. He was himself. And I imagine it was difficult for him, being probably the first of, certainly this, Carly's first interview with Channing, which is a big name. So you're worried about someone's, the interviewer's capability. But Channing just was a champ. And he treated her like he should have treated anyone who was taking the time to interview him. And of course, it's easier said than done, but I think there was real magic that kind of happened there. We're going to play another clip in a moment or two. But I mean, she got him to open up about different things, his wife, his childhood, who he would like to act with. And even though she doesn't have the ability to speak, talk, she can communicate. And that's great. With one finger. And as a matter of fact, I don't know. I know, obviously, the necessary vitals for people with autism. And it fluctuates, obviously, a great deal. But on her website, it says, yes, that is me typing with one finger. So I guess people have asked her, can you really type, or is that you really typing? So she goes, yes, I can really type. Diagnosed at the young age of two, you know, this is a godsend for her because this has been her dream. To be with Channing Tatum. No. I mean, dream to be a talk show host. I'm sure possibly to be with Channing Tatum as well. But, you know, it kind of gives me pause to realize, like, you know, just do what you want in life, man. I mean, here is a woman, a person who wanted to be a talk show host all her life. And now she has the capability. She's doing it. And she's nonverbal. But yet the world is now able to hear her voice and see her face. Puts a face to autism, to everyone out there. And on a website I frequently talk about on the show here called themighty.com, themighty, M-I-G-H-T-Y.com, there was a lot of information about, very, very positive feedback about Carly's interview and what she stands for. You know, we all hopefully stand for something in this world. Donald Trump, okay, there's an exception. Well, no, he does stand for something. Come on, hold on now, don't start throwing stuff at your computer or smartphone. No, don't throw, he stands for himself. Come on, you know that, he loves himself. If he could marry himself or put his name on a building, he would. Oh yeah, he's done that probably several dozen times. An offshoot here actually to the story, on Real Sports on HBO, there is a, and you're probably going to have to go on demand because I think it aired in April. They do a great segment on Donald Trump and his golf course that he wanted to open, which is actually open in Scotland. And there's an individual who owned property that Donald Trump wanted to buy, and he was a holdout for, it doesn't matter actually why he's a holdout, because it's his property, and he wasn't going to sell it to the Donald. So it's a great, great segment on how Donald just thinks he can do anything to buy anyone. And of course, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are millionaires and billionaires who think money can obviously solve everyone's problems, which I think is the furthest thing from the truth. But anyway, it's a great segment. And also there's a lot of stories that depict empowerment and resiliency. But anyway, getting back to Carly. So check her out. Carly Fleischman, 21-year-old nonverbal speak woman who's able to speak on the autism spectrum. And it's magical. And, you know, the fact that she's able to get him to open up about so many different things, and especially about being a single stripper in his glory days.
You are seen as one of the most attractive hunks in Hollywood. Do you find it hard to be good looking? When you first started out, did you find that people took you serious for the roles you wanted to act in?
I find it hard to make people take me serious at all, ever. So yes is the answer to that. I'm really lucky. My parents are two good-looking people. And
to appear to look shallow, but in reality, I am. Laugh out loud. So I have to ask this question. I know you were a stripper growing up.
Yes.
How many girls at the end of your night would take you home?
How many at the end of one night? Some nights was more than others.
That's hysterical. Channing Tatum. Give it up for Channing Tatum. And for Carly Fleischman. Check her out on YouTube, Carly Fleischman. The name of the show is aptly titled Speechless with Carly Fleischman. So from the How Cool Is This files, have you gotten your tickets yet? Actually, I don't think they're on sale for another few days. The Stones, Paul McCartney, Dylan, Neil Young, Roger Waters, The Who are uniting for a once-in-a-lifetime concert. It's dubbed The Desert Trip. I am so considering this. The event was announced last Tuesday. Incredible lineup. It's going to be October 7th through the 9th at the Empire Polo Field in Indio, California. And that's where Coachella is. Now, it's pretty cool. Now, at sundown each night, there's going to be different acts. There's going to be full featured concerts. So two acts doing full sets. The first night's going to be the Stones and Dylan. The next day is going to be McCartney and Young. And wrapping up on the third day will be Waters and The Who closing out day three. So, you know, I'm having a milestone birthday in September. So I got a few ideas that I'm floating around in my membrane. I haven't shared really any of them with my wife. But one of them involves going to Burning Man. Do you know what Burning Man is? It's a debaucherous multi-day event held in the desert where music, alcohol, drugs, and everything that I did in my life that pretty much got me in trouble is applauded and welcomed there. And you have to be self-sufficient. So here's the thing very quickly. I don't want to get too far on a tangent here, is that if I go there without my wife on day two or three, I may forget I'm married. That's a bad thing. Now, if I go there with my wife, when we come home to our kids, maybe we'll come home with maybe you come home with someone else too. Maybe like a three. Who knows? I mean, anything happens and everything happens at Burning Man. So if you don't know what Burning Man is, do yourself a favor and check it out. And also from the How Cool Is This file. Do you remember Sugar Shane Mosley? I mean, he's a big deal. He actually came out of retirement, I think, last year. He's beaten a lot of like big names. Some of them are coming to mind. Let me see. Oscar De La Hoya, that's right. He beat him, Floyd Mayweather, and someone else. But anyway, he came out of retirement. He's in the news because the other day, he was on the 405 freeway, that crazy version of the turnpike, which is even worse, New Jersey Turnpike, on the West Coast. And he was actually in a near-miss accident, a four-car pileup. Long story short, he basically saw that there was a baby in a car. So he went over there, the husband or the father of the baby was totally panicked and couldn't get the door open. So long story short, he was dubbed a hero because he got the baby out of the car. The baby was bleeding. He and his girlfriend took care of the baby until the ambulance arrived, and they followed the ambulance. This is really, really sweet. Followed the ambulance and actually took the baby bag with them. I mean, who would have thought of that? So it's kind of pretty cool. He's getting a lot of good press. I love people who are great innocent bystanders. I think our world would be so much better off if we had people who got involved. Now, granted, if you think it's a dangerous situation where you may get hurt, you got to use your head. But I've actually done this several times, and sometimes looking back, it wasn't the wisest decisions, but just it's how I'm wired innately. Several times, like in New York City, I chased a guy for two blocks because he stole a woman's purse. But then I found out after I slammed him against the storefront of a window that the woman who was also chasing him for her purse back was part of a sting. So then she started beating me up. So, I've climbed into cars that were part of an accident to help out a victim. I've done so many different things. As a matter of fact, my wife has dubbed me Dudley Do Right. I've saved multiple people. From being, I can't say they were close to drowning, but certainly in distress in the ocean from a little kid. And it's pretty funny. I was dating my current wife now then. And here I am pulling like a 6 or 7 year old out of the ocean when
rough surf day on a packed beach, and she was with her friends, and she's like, oh, I was like, wow, this is going to go over really well with our friends. This is going to be a great impression that I'm making. Anyway, so very, very cool from the How Cool Is This, Shane Sugar Mosley. And it's kind of neat because obviously they didn't know who he was at first, but then when they found out who he was, they recognized his name. He actually gave him tickets to their his upcoming fight, which is in Vegas. Which is, you know, because he retired from retirement. And why not? Because retirement sucks. I can't imagine. First of all, how can anyone afford to retire nowadays? Right? I mean, God, you got to be Trump. No, that means you got to have money. So Trump can't retire. Oh, that's why he's running for president. I just figured it out. He needs the money. What do you make as a president? 200 nowadays? 200 and change? Remember the last time I found out, it was in the hundreds, but... I mean, whatever the money is worth, it's certainly not worth it in my eyes. Man, I mean, that is a hard, hard job. Anyway, the show is Progressive Radio Network. Actually, the show is Insights. My name is Mark Farrell. Thank you so much for joining me this and every Thursday. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And I'm really happy to welcome our next guest. I talked about them in the beginning of the show. They are very, very dedicated, passionate people. And that's what I love about people who are out to change the perception of people with disabilities, people who have traumatic experiences in their life, to give a voice, to give a platform to anyone in life that has a story to tell that's compelling, that can be insightful, and then that can change how sensitive, how empathetic one can be and open our eyes, a place where people can coexist on many different levels. And the forum is called Motivated Magazine. And I'm very happy to welcome to the show Kayla Khan, who is one of the co-founders, along with Samantha Stewart. Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hi, how are you? We're great. I'm good, thanks.
How's Ohio today?
It's pretty bogged down. It's cloudy. It looks like we might get some rain, but tomorrow's supposed to be beautiful. But either way, we believe rain is gorgeous anyway.
Yeah.
And you know what? San Diego, it's actually weather. It's not perfect every day, so it's pretty good.
Oh, good for you, good for you. So listen, thank you for your time, and thank you for, you know, creating a platform for people that, from when the reviews have been outstanding, and from what I've read, I really enjoyed as well. Motivated Magazine, what was the impetus for this?
Basically, it's about taking our background, my background, with what I, you know, my experiences that I went through growing up with, you know, abuse in the family and death at an early age, losing a lot of family members, with Kayla's background and sports inequality. It basically came along with a platform to give people a voice, give them an opportunity to share their feelings, their stories, because everyone has a raw reality story to share. That's the reason that we're alive. It's called life. So
it's kind of like, you know, when you meet someone, you always say, hey, how's it going? And they have one of two responses. It's either, oh, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I got this going for me, or I'm doing this, or I'm looking forward to this. Or you have the complete opposite flip side where it's like, man, you know, I've been like so down and out of it. You know, this is going on and this is going on and I'm just not handling it well. Like it's total bipolar energy that this world has.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm sorry. I have a pet peeve. Does this really bother you? And hopefully we don't have many people in our lives like this. Do you ever get people, especially someone you haven't seen in a while, who say to you after you say to them, hey, how are you? What's going on? What's happening in life? They say, same old shit. That drives me drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's sad, though, because then I'm like, you know, what is it that you feel like is the same old stuff? That's the biggest problem I feel that a lot of people face, is they're going to the same job, working the same 9 to 5, going with the same boss, and they don't know how to cope with it. So when you ask, it's kind of like they're stuck in a vortex that they don't know how to get out of.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was actually just listening to Ty Lopez the other day on YouTube, and he was saying, you know, I hate it when people say, man, I can't wait till Friday. And he's like, what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? If you don't like the majority of your days throughout the week, then you don't really like your life. And it's like you have to just, you know, really open yourself up to what your life purpose is. And I know for a lot of people it takes time to even figure that out. I mean, I'm 27 years old and just finding this out through Motivated over the past couple of years. And Samantha, you know, she's in her 30s and she's going through the same thing. But it's like, just by sharing your experiences and getting involved and opening up with people, you start to understand a little bit bigger aspect of life and what you're meant to be doing by connecting with people on a deeper level.
Absolutely. And 7 years ago is when this happened on a platform called MySpace. Do you remember that? Great that it brought you two together. It's great that it's brought you two together because as a relationship, you've been together. And Samantha, I believe you went out to the West Coast to be with Kayla, who was a motocross racer back then, who hats off to you, Kayla, because I grew up on a dirt bike as well. Yes, visually impaired. I used to not race, but I used to go 80, 90 miles an hour through the woods, which was crazy for my parents to ever even fathom having me a motorcycle. But that's a whole nother day. But good for you for fighting for women's equality, for the pay, inequality of pay, et cetera, and then realizing between the two of you with your different backgrounds, good experiences and bad, that there is a greater good between you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's funny how it started out because when we first met over MySpace, we had talked for a couple of months and then, you know, she was like, I'm just going to sell everything I own and fly from Ohio into, you know, the West Coast and meet you face to face and we'll see how things work out. Well, the day that we met was the day that she moved in with me and we completely hit it off and it's just been an incredible journey ever since.
Doesn't sound like you had a choice. I mean, if somebody sells everything and then says they're coming out to meet you, what are you going to say? No.
I know. She's like, well, I'm stuck with you.
So yeah.
That's kind of how it
works. Well, it really worked out.
Yeah. I think the yin and yang, the positive and negative energies, we're polar opposites. So, and that's really what kind of attracts people. Because if you have two like-minded people, too similar, then you can butt heads more than people who are one way or another. Because then there's not so many opinions on who's right in a situation. Although there can be with. There can be where someone's like, "Well, I'm right. No, I'm right." But.
And I think we're having that moment right now.
Exactly. Kayla, let's talk about your fondness of racing motorcycles, because that's a very interesting sport. It's highly competitive, incredibly athletic, and the fact that it's 99% male. What drew you to it?
Well, you know, my grandpa was actually on my dad's side. He's huge. Well, was. He passed away a couple years ago. But, you know, he was huge into racing and whether it was like racing cars or, you know, riding his motorcycle, it was just something that has always been a part of my family's life. So my dad at a young age started racing motocross on a professional level. And he's just, man, my dad has so much talent. And my dad actually got me into it and got me started, you know, obsessing over it at such a young age. I would go to the supercross races and, of course, every single supercross race, the females are the ones holding the umbrellas, passing out the energy drinks, walking around in booty shorts, you know, basically like the models of the show, so to say.
Hmm.
And the guys were the one that raced. And so it was my dream, hence I say was, because life has opened up so many different doors now, and that's not even, you know, in my life right now as far as on a competitive level. But it's like, my dream at that time, you know, up until I was 20 years old, was to be the one woman racer in the AMA Supercross that can completely dominate the men, and not for self-satisfaction, not for the number one plate. It was really just to prove that women are capable of doing everything men are, and vice versa. You know, I know a guy that can, you know, vacuum and do, like, the olden days, women stuff, quote unquote.
Hey, that's me you're talking about.
Women.
Yeah. I'm a clean freak.
You're the house husband, huh?
I actually have to show my wife when she does pull out the vacuum how to turn it on and how to change the attachments. I kid you not.
Oh my God.
It's hysterical. So, Samantha. You alluded to the fact that, you know, you have a lot of history. Of course, we have a lot of adversity, all of us do, in different forms. The head of the show, and Kayla, we're going to get back to you momentarily. But you mentioned to me, and I learned that at a young age of 6, you were hunting for your own food.
That is actually correct. You know, I grew up in the backwoods of Ohio. My neighbors were Amish, and there wasn't a lot of income in my family. My mom was a young mom, and my dad was in the military. They ended up getting divorced at a young age, and then one thing led to another. Mainly, I hunted my own food when I lived with my mom and my stepdad at the time, and it's like, if we didn't, and we didn't hunt deer, and we didn't hunt rabbit, pretty much the only thing that we were going to eat on was whatever was available, which was pretty, you know, slim picking. And yeah, so it's like hunting deer. By the age of like 9, 10 years old, I had my own rifle. I was outside. I was shooting squirrel. We had coon dogs. I'd go coon hunting. That's when you like let the dogs loose. They find coon. And then when you can hear a certain tone in their bark, then you go find where the dogs have freed a coon up in the tree. And it's sad, you know, I'm not into that anymore. I don't believe in violence against animals. You know, it's not something I'm into, but at the time it's kind of a survival thing. But
absolutely.
The coon hide was for money. So there's always an avenue in the woods to try to make money as well as eat. So it definitely taught me a lot. It taught me a lot of values about, you know, independence at a young age and how to take care of myself.
And also at a very young age, you were sexually molested.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. That's, you know, that impacted me for a while in my life because I didn't have an avenue. I didn't find a portal to try to release what had happened to me. I kind of took it in and said, why me, why me, why me? And then as, you know, life progressed, I realized that life experiences are learning lessons. And then people go through certain things in life to help others in the long run. There's a reason things have happened to me, and that's because I'm supposed to take these experiences. I'm not saying they were supposed to happen. Some people would disagree with that.
Of course, sure.
And that's not fun. So then it's like I take these experiences and say, how can I turn this into something positive? You know, I witnessed my stepdad, who was the molester in the situation. He tried killing my mom, basically, and he had a pickaxe that he swung at her head. She ducked. My uncle jumped in the way, and he took a pickaxe through his face. So situations like that, I've seen guns pulled on, you know, my stepdad, and he was abusive, extremely abusive towards my mom, getting her out of that situation. So I grew up fast and had to raise myself a lot in a lot of different situations, and it was trial and error to get to the point where I'm at right now. But I think that's what makes a great motivational and inspirational speaker, is someone who can take these situations and apply them in a positive manner.
Which you are and which you have been doing, and also writing a self-help book as well, correct?
Yes. I've been doing that for a couple of years, and it's so weird how that happened. Is I started writing my book, and then I started having, you know, a lot of vivid dreams about what I should be doing. And I'm like, before, when I first started my book, it was very negative, and I realize that now over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And my computer crashed, my hard drive, the backup to my hard drive crashed, and I lost the print book. I lost all of that within a week period. I lost my entire book, and I was like, why? And then after about a couple years down the road, I started rewriting it, and when I was rewriting it, I realized how I was writing it originally was really off the charts of who I am today. So I'm really glad it didn't manifest into something then.
Well, it was probably cathartic as well, and you needed that, you know, time to pass so you can actually see. And, I mean, had you gone to therapy for all the traumatic experiences that you had experienced?
No, you know, my therapy is nature. It's going, it's meditation. It's diving inside myself, and that's what I've really learned over the last 10 years is I got heavy into meditation and trying, you know, becoming one with myself and listening to Deepak, listening to Wayne Dyer, and then, you know, Sylvia Brown, a lot of psychic mediums, and not that I went to them. I was just reading up on the books about afterlife and, you know, whether people believe in reincarnation or not, but reincarnation about why I'm actually here. So I helped myself. I've never had someone, you know, step in my life and say, allow me to help you or give you an outlet to express yourself. It was me, and that's something that, you know, I pride myself in, and, you know, it took a lot of trial and error to get to where I'm at right now, but I'm extremely proud of the steps that I've taken, and I love it. I mean, I love myself. I love my experiences. And that's not just a front. That's just who I am today.
Fantastic. Great to hear it. And it also sounds like, you know, as myself, I went through a lot of different things, like we all do through adolescence and teenage years, et cetera. But I masked a lot of my problems with drugs and alcohol use. And that was very much commonplace in your life then, too, correct?
Yeah, that was definitely an aspect of my life about 7 or 8 years ago, anywhere between 7 to 10 years ago. I became an alcoholic, and I was drinking about a liter of vodka a day.
Wow.
Up to 12, 18 cans of beer. So I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this. So I kept, you know, self-abusing myself as far as taking, like, prescription pills when I shouldn't be if I didn't have alcohol. So I started taking that avenue to try to numb out the feelings, but then it's like I had an aha moment, excuse me, when I woke up one morning. It's like I had this long conversation with God, or, you know, a higher power, as I like to call them, that something's got to give. I need the miracle that everyone talks about. Like, I woke up and I had this miracle. So that's what I woke up and said, I'm done. I've had enough. And I took off, and that's when I moved to California, and I said, you know, this is going to work with her. I have a big feeling in it, because I asked God to put someone in my life that, you know, is really going to help me in the long run, that I could help her. We work together, and, you know, we bring our lives together and merge something positive out of it.
That's fantastic. And with both your experiences, certainly, Samantha, yours that you just shared with us, thankfully, and I appreciate your candor, and yours, Kayla, I mean, this brings a lot of worldly experience, personal experience more so, to a platform where that's why you accept and exist, coexist, for example, on and creating Motivated Magazine. And I think that's one of the reasons why the ingredient is so well-respected.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, when we first got together, and even still, we talk about it all the time, like, Samantha grew up in that kind of environment, but the way I grew up was complete opposite. I mean, I grew up in a very, very loving family, you know, not just, like, hugging and, you know, saying I love you and tickling my feet when I go to bed at night. I mean, that was an every night thing up until, God, I hate to admit it, up until I was, like, 15. But, you know, it's, I come from such a loving family, and then she comes from such an opposite lifestyle. It's like we were able to kind of share our experiences with each other and be able to kind of just find a balance of, like she said, the yin and yang. And I think that's what really helps us understand the stories that come in through Motivated, because if it's something that I personally haven't gone through, guarantee Samantha's been through it. Mm. And if it's something that she hasn't gone through, guarantee I've been through it. I mean, you know, my life wasn't all goody two shoes. I've been through a lot, but, you know, it was more on the positive side than compared to how Samantha grew up as a child.
Well, and you both have the characteristic to be empathetic, especially when you hear stories and feature stories about a woman who lost her unborn child, and 5 months later she was burying her husband from Iraq War, I believe.
Brittany Hogan. God, she's an amazing woman. I mean, you know, we haven't been able to meet face-to-face yet. She's in San Diego. We started talking, and, I mean, I've been following her story over Facebook for quite a while, but when we featured her story and she really opened up to what she submitted, it went viral, and it has touched so many people's lives. You know, she fell in love with Hunter Hogan, which was a soldier in the military, and you know, he was deployed as... I'm sorry, I'm trying to, like, get it to a T, because I know her story is so important, and it really impacted me. It's just, I have chills all down my legs right now. So she was pregnant with their first child, and, you know, a couple hours after he was deployed to go to war, she had a miscarriage.
Wow.
So she had to go through that all by herself, and it's not like she could just pick up the phone call and say, honey, I had a miscarriage, I need you.
Come home.
I can't alone. Yeah, he can't come home. And then 5 months later, she was handed a flag at his funeral. So, I mean, she just went through this insane life experience, and she ended up not having any other option but running out her anger, running out her depression, and she grabbed her pair of running shoes and hit the pavement, and that's what really changed her life, which, you know, resulted in the business that she owns today, which is Virago.
It's amazing how we hear of people who suffer the most tragic of consequences, and we all say to ourselves, like, oh my God, how do people survive? But when we look inward, like, you know, Samantha, for yourself, I mean, you know, there's some heavy stuff you went through. And my story and everyone else's story, I mean, everyone, and you can't compare them to an extent. But when you feel or hear or read about something, especially through Motivated Magazine, where a woman like Brittany experiences such loss, such gargantuan loss in such a short period of time, you still have to take pause and be like, wow. I mean, look at how tremendous the human spirit is to be able to not so much overcome, but just to be able to survive.
Yeah, to cope and to, you know, pull yourself back together and make something out of yourself still, instead of sinking deep into your couch with depression and not knowing where you go forward. She definitely put her feet down on the ground and took off running and said, I'm turning my struggle into strength. And that's her quote. It's, you know, everyone's going to go through hard times in life, and it's about what you do with those hard times that are really going to manifest what it is that you're projecting. You know, thoughts become things, and if you keep thinking that you're unhappy, that you're depressed, and that you put all of these vibes out there, then that's what will keep showing up in your life. You know, your car will break down, you drop your coffee pot of hot coffee all over yourself, and there's like this downward spiral. And it's not stating someone can't go through those emotions, which is completely human mm-hmm. to go through that, but it's like you have to start projecting positive emotions out there about what it is that, you know, you want to achieve regardless of what has happened to you.
Absolutely. That's the voice of Samantha Stewart. She's the co-founder of Motivated Magazine, along with Kayla Khan, coming to us live from Ohio. They are the founders of Motivated Magazine. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight on Progressive Radio Network, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. If you have a question for either lady, Jerry McGee. Now, he's another fascinating story that you covered there. Please share.
Yeah, Jeremy. And that was another one. When he first called me and I was interviewing him over the phone, we were actually house-sitting one of our lawyers. And I was on the treadmill just, you know, pushing out stories through Motivated while I'm getting my exercise in. And the phone rang, and it was Jeremy. And at that time, the reason I was walking on the treadmill and exercising is because I was in, like, just such this mood where, you know, there were some things that were just going wrong in my life as far as, you know, just business and stuff, where I was just completely stressed out. And I was like, God, you know, I just need a break. Like, where is my break? And then the phone rings and he calls in and he shares a piece of his life with me. And I mean, that's what Motivated does. It just absolutely makes you see life so differently, because at that time when I was going through something, he shared a piece of his life, which, you know, he survived a near-death crash. He was hit by a car while running errands on his motorcycle. And of course, you know, it all happens when you're almost home. But fortunately, there was EMTs and paramedics right there on the corner where the crash occurred. And he was hit so hard that his helmet was twisted on his face. You know, his mouth was just full of blood, and he could tell that because of his hands and everything about him getting cold so quickly, he knew he was losing a lot of blood, but because of his helmet twisted, he couldn't see where. So he kind of had a feeling that, you know, either I'm paralyzed or this traumatic experience that just occurred right now has me completely numb from the trauma. So the EMTs rushed over to him, which is, I mean, a miracle that they even witnessed it, let alone were there for him. Not even over 20 minutes, he was already rushed in the ER and in life-saving surgery to remove all the internal bleeding, and he ended up waking up in the MRI tube. And the doctor was like, you know, before you become aware of your body, I just want you to know that you're lucky to be alive.
Wow. And from there point on, he slowly becomes an extreme person of sport, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he is paralyzed from the waist down, but he refuses to call himself handicapped, and that's what I really admire about Jeremy. Like, you know, he went from being a lifeguard and always out in the ocean, surfing, doing extreme things, to being bound to a wheelchair, and he was like, this is not my life. You know, I'm depressed, I'm going through a lot, I can't handle this, I need to get out and do what I love. And that's his motto, you know, do what you love. And it's because, you know, it took him a while even to get back out into the ocean, but he literally, you know, gained the strength in his arms, put himself out of the wheelchair, dragged his lower body through the sand all the way to the waterfront, and got in his custom board and, you know, took off and gave it a shot, and he's been addicted ever since.
Wow.
And it's like,
incredible.
You know, now he's being featured following his journey around the world and, you know, doing extreme things for a living and inspiring people to, you know, never give up regardless of your situation.
Absolutely. And that's a great example. One example, I mean, for Motivated Magazine, where you feature, you know, it could be featuring a surfer or a grandparent or Brittany or Christy. I mean, Christy Salazar, this immensely courageous woman story. If it would have happened, you know, in the early 2000s, it would have been really, really unfathomable. But the fact is, and you'll share this with us in a moment, but the fact is that this is happening more and more nowadays, but the fact that someone is actually allowing someone like yourself, a publication, you and Samantha, to share their personal stories and details and how they can really follow their heart. Of course, it's not an easy lifestyle to achieve when there's other people and feelings involved, but nonetheless, they're following what they want in life. Please share the story of Christy Salazar.
Yeah, so Christy, you know, she was living, quote unquote, the traditional life.
Yeah.
You know, thinking she was doing everything as she was supposed to do. And I mean, I understand, you know, I was raised with a Christian upbringing to, you know, basically form me and mold me to understand that being gay is a choice and it's wrong. And, you know, she was in that lifestyle too, where she just thought she was doing everything to the book, literally. No pun intended, to the book. but, you know, she had a husband at the time, and she had three kids, three boys, which are incredible boys, by the way. You know, you can tell they have such an amazing family. And she went through a lot, and her life flipped upside down. And that's why I titled the story The Flip, because overnight she lost her family, and she actually, you know, had an 8-year custody battle beginning that night when she admitted that she fell head over heels in love with a woman. And, you know, this woman, Liz, that came into her life, falling for someone, especially if it's something that you're unfamiliar to, it makes you question everything you know about life.
And what a battle for that love.
And you know, I'm sure, I mean, not speaking from her experience, but from my experience too, I'm pretty sure she can relate and, you know, admit that it was confusing. She didn't know why she was so in love with a woman when that's not anything like what she was taught or raised to understand. And, you know, she ultimately just was like, I can't stand this woman I'm looking at in the mirror. And she started to become true to herself and, you know, accept herself for who she is and the feelings that she had for Liz. And it's been, you know, they just celebrated their 9-year anniversary, and, you know, they've together raised these three boys, and it's just, it's an incredible family. They're very inspirational, the two of them together. And Christy, actually, she's a radio host to her very own radio show, and, you know, she's a media personality every day. She is just like the ultimate go-getter. So accepting herself and, you know, becoming open to life experiences for what they are has really opened up her life's purpose.
I imagine.
And really,
yeah,
showed her so much.
Certainly
more
not easy
life,
by any stretch of the imagination. Now, Kayla, can you relate? I don't know your background in terms of, had you always known you were gay, or is this something that happened in your teens or early 20s?
You know, it's not often I'm asked this question.
Really?
So you're kind of making me feel, I guess, how some people submitting motivated stories feel, because you're making me vulnerable right now, which is what I know a lot of people experience.
It's my Oprah moment.
Yeah, let's have a silent moment. But it's okay to be vulnerable. And, you know, it's those feelings that really help you in the long run. So, yeah, when I was in elementary school, I mean, for some reason, I always had crushes on the female teachers. And
me too.
You know, and you don't know why. You just kind of did. And so, I mean, I did date guys throughout, you know, high school. And after I was raped by a kid 2 years younger than me in high school, you know, there was this rumor spread where everyone believed that I was so desperate to have sex with a guy that I needed to lose my virginity to a guy 2 years younger than me because no one wanted me. I was not popular and stuff like that. And, you know, there are just so many experiences where even after that had happened, I still turned to guys because I was like, I don't know why when a woman holds my hand or when, you know, a female that I feel is attractive comes close to me, why I get butterflies. But that doesn't happen with a guy. So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you're gay because you got raped or molested. Well, no, that's not the case. You know, I've had so many boyfriends that treated me a lot better than the girlfriends I had in my past. And it's just a feeling of acceptance for yourself and understanding that, you know, there's no such thing as gay, straight, bi. It's just we're people in love with people. And you can't really put a label on love.
Absolutely. And hoping for the opportunity to love.
Right, exactly. Yeah, now, so I mean,
we don't have much time left, and I want to get to Samantha, but quickly, Kayla, was it hard, obviously, and when did you come out?
Oh, man, I know my mom's listening right now.
Hi, Mom. You did a good job, Mom.
Yes, she did. Yeah, my mom and dad are awesome and very supportive. They love Samantha, I mean, so much, unconditionally. And, you know, I didn't really have an option to come out. My mom being, you know, just a caring mom, looked into my email, you know, when I was about 15 to ensure that I wasn't going down any wrong roads or anything. And, you know, she found out that I had, you know, kissed and been kind of interactive with
Surprise!
Another girl from my- And that's when the talk came out.
Sure.
And, yeah, I didn't really have an option. It was just kind of forced out. And I went through a lot of trauma. Not necessarily too much with my family, but with family friends that really talked down on me from the religion aspect. And yeah, so it took a lot for me to get over that. But, you know, it's just like Christy's story, you know, you have to just really start loving yourself when
Sure.
you look in the mirror and realize that you are who you are.
And don't give yourself excuses. And it sounds like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Kayla, and I want to get to Samantha, but it sounds like that, along with your ability to fight for inequality and motocross, I mean, all these things are fueling mechanisms that obviously are one of the reasons why Motivated Magazine is going to be truly successful. Samantha, if you can, share a quick story synopsis of if you knew you were gay at a very young age and coming out, and was it easier than obviously a lot of the other traumatic events you went through?
excuse me. I think it's kind of the same story, which is funny. I was attracted to my female teachers. And, you know, I didn't really date anybody. I did date one guy, but I was pretty much kind of like a loner. I was always alone in my head trying to figure my life out at such a young age. And I knew that I was gay pretty much since about the age of 10. But I still, like I said, ended up dating a guy. I did get married when I was 17, and that's just to get out of Ohio. And he was my best friend. I've known him since I've been 4. And my dad and his family played in a band together, so that's how I knew him. He was more of a friend to me. And I ended up getting married, and I ended up leaving him about a year and a half or so later because I knew that's not even who I was. But I came out to my family when I think I was 18. But like I said, I knew that I was gay and that I wasn't completely connected to the, you know, to men. And when I told my mom, well, because my dad passed away from an aneurysm, but when I told my mom and the rest of my family, surprisingly, they were extremely accepting of it. My family, you know, it's like Ohio can be a very conservative state as far as,
sure,
you know, segregation goes, but with my family, they say, be who you know you are. I love you regardless. So I think on that aspect of it, it was easier for my family to accept me for being me, because I wasn't the only gay person in my family. I had somewhere on my dad's side, he had a gay uncle who
all right
kind of already,
good, they paved the road for you.
Yes, exactly. So definitely made it a little bit easier as far as my family understanding that it's not a choice.
It's sure, just, you it's know, who you are.
Born.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had a family member come out about, oh, geez, maybe 10 years ago, and they were making the phone calls, and they were talking to me, and she told me, you know, that she's gay. And I said, great, now we have more in common. I love women, too.
Yeah.
And so she was just so happy on how everyone embraced, even my mother, who was probably 80 at the time, was like, great. Okay, what else is going on, type of thing? Because, you know, you are who you are. We love you unconditionally. It doesn't matter. I mean, we hope that no one has a more difficult and challenging life because of that. Like, I have two young kids. If they're gay, they're gay. What are you going to do? We just want them to be happy in life and have as few unnecessary challenges, I should say.
Yeah, you know, it's sad to say that with LGBTQ, mm-hmm, that, you know, that can put a big block and obstacle up for a lot of them, because a lot of them, their family members are sending them to rehab. They're sending them to Christian camps to try to straighten them out. And, you know, they're already dealing with things. So as they get older and they get, you know, to be 18 and move up on their own, they have to deal with whatever repercussions their family might throw at them for a choice that's not theirs.
Sure.
As much as people like to say, you know, I choose to eat ice cream. I choose to eat steak. That's not the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a choice,
sure,
that you're making. This is something that we're born to be, born to do. So it's kind of like that. It's like taste buds change, but your love doesn't.
And true. Absolutely. Well put. And I also say to people, and there is a parallel here, bear with me, that, you know, there's no one asked to be disabled in this world, but there's never been a better time to be disabled because of the technology and information out there. And the same thing that, you know, if you're gay, I mean, you'd rather be gay now than 20 years ago or 40 years ago, because the acceptance is so much better. I mean, even just the information, the sharing with, especially with your magazine, Motivated Magazine, social media, to way to just, you know, to meet other people and to know that you're not alone. And this goes, you know, can be an example of many different things that people experience in life. And in closing, it's a great example, another great example of why Motivated exists, because people can coexist for whatever reason and share their life story.
Yeah, you know, and another thing I wanted to point out was a lot of people may look at Motivated because it's spelled differently than how you would, you know, correctly spell Motivated. And the reason that we spelled Motivated differently was because, you know, you can tell someone, oh, you need to get motivated in life. And they're like, okay, how do I do that? You know, you can't just tell me how to do it by telling me to get motivated. And so spelling Motivated differently was really a way for us to kind of break the barriers and to switch things around and give a whole new meaning and a whole new concept to what it means to truly be motivated. Because you sharing your story, regardless that you're down in the dumps, is a way to already, you're already there. You are motivated just by waking up every morning, taking that first breath. That is a step, you know, in the right direction.
And I also thought, Kayla, it's a nice hybrid of Moto Cross with Motivated. I thought you threw that in there for that.
Yeah.
So that's Motovaded magazine.com, motivatedmagazine.com. Kayla Khan, Samantha Stewart, co-founders, couple in life. You guys are doing great things, and don't slow down. Thank you so much for your time. My name is Mark Farrell. This is Insight. Hey, where's my music? I need my music. There we go. Cinco de Mayo, program director, where are you? We're going drinking. That's it. Hey, listen, if you missed the earlier part of the show or any show, log on to PRN.FM, PRN.FM. Click on Insight page and listen to this podcast or any podcast whenever you like, because you have no life and you want to hear Mark Farrell on loop. Bye!